You're listening to the Product Podcast from Product School, featuring the best product leaders from Silicon Valley and beyond. If you're an aspiring product manager looking for your first PM role, or an experienced PM looking to level up your skills and advance your career, visit productschool.com to learn about our certifications and how we'll get you there. Want to see how users experience your website or app? FullStory's award-winning platform gathers data on user experiences in real time, allowing product teams to better understand issues and successes in aggregate. Get started at FullStory.com. In today's episode, we're going to get you confident and set up for success for your next product management interview with Google Payments PM, Ethan Harry. He'll be getting you equipped on everything from what to expect, what interviewers are looking for, and tips for how to really prepare for it so you can enter your next one ready to crush it.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ethan Harry. I am a product manager at Google. Today, I'm going to be talking about some thoughts I have around acing the product manager interview. First, we're going to start by talking about what does it mean to ace this interview? What are product manager interviewers looking for? And what can you do during that interview to demonstrate those qualities that they're looking for? Once we've established that, we're going to talk about how best to prepare yourself and how to put yourself in a position where you're likely to be successful come interview day. So first, what are PM interviewers looking for? We're going to talk about this first more generally. Regardless of the prompt type or the question type, there are certain things that you're going to want to demonstrate to an interviewer. So we're going to go over some of those first. And then we'll talk about more specific prompt types, product design, strategy, technical questions. And we're going to cover specifically for those prompt types, what are interviewers looking for and how can you show them what they're looking for? So first, generally, what are interviewers looking for? The first thing is the ability to start with the user. So this is true at all companies, but especially at bigger companies like Google. I want to show the interviewer that you are designing for the problems of the user first. The belief is that if you're solving user problems, people are having a good experience interacting with your product. All the other concerns like business monetization will come later. But there is no business, there is no monetization if you don't have users. So starting with the user, again, don't cast all of the business thought to the side. You know, you're going to want to talk about trade-offs. But everything you do should start with the perspective of the user. Second, the ability to thrive in ambiguity. So practically as a product manager, you're going to start and you're going to say, okay, what do I do? What problems do I need to solve? This is the type of ambiguity that interviewers want to simulate, right? So in real life, you would be going through user feedback, looking at metrics for opportunities to improve. They're going to try to simulate that ambiguity by asking you something that's intentionally vague, right? Could be a design prompt, could be a strategic prompt, but they're not going to give you all the detail you need to be able to answer the question. They are looking for you to clarify. So for you to clarify something they said, maybe they left out a piece of information that you would ask about. Maybe they just gave you a scope that was way too broad and you need to kind of reduce that scope to make it something manageable. All of these are things that interviewers are looking for you to do. Focus on what's important. So in the real world, once you've identified problems to fix, you need to prioritize them, right? You'll want to show here that you're capable of understanding what the biggest problems are and focusing on those and not letting yourself be distracted by peripheral use cases or smaller problems that could derail you from solving the big problem that's actually going to make a difference to your users. You're going to want to show interviewers that you can make strategic and informed decisions. So, you know, for any solution, be it a product design solution, a strategic plan, there are an infinite number of ways you could take a prompt. You're going to want to come up with these solutions and then be able to think about them, evaluate the trade-offs and the risks of each, evaluate how well they meet the needs of your users, and come to a solution that kind of incorporates all of these things, right? How much does it help your users? What are the risks? How is it going to have an impact in the market, et cetera? One of my biggest tips here is to pause and think before you answer. If you have three or four solutions in your head, pause and think about if it's worth discussing all of those solutions. Once you have discussed all the solutions you might want to pursue, pause and think again to evaluate them. Not only will this lead to you putting your best foot forward in how you communicate the solution, it'll also show the interviewer that you are the type of person who takes their time with these important decisions, who weighs all the relevant factors, and who doesn't just kind of jump into the first thing that they see. Finally, clear communication. Again, pausing here is big, but once you have determined, okay, this is my solution, this is what I want to, this is the product I would build to solve this problem for my users, you're going to want to be as clear and concise as possible in how you communicate that solution, right? As a product manager, you're dealing with VPs and engineers and non-technical stakeholders. You need to be able to communicate your ideas to all of these stakeholders clearly. So let's talk more specifically about product design prompts. In my opinion, these are the cornerstone of the product manager interview. This is what we do, right? We find users, we identify their pain points, and we build products that solve those pain points. So I'm going to talk about some of the key traits to make sure you display in a product design interview. First, I'll talk about the traits, and then I'll talk about how you could show them in the context of an example. Here, that example being design Uber for children. So what do you need to show in a product design interview? First and foremost, user empathy. Again, everything starts with the user. So here, this means who are your users and what do they really care about, right? What are, and that is going to lead into their pain points. But before you start talking about specific pain points, you really want to show that you can put yourself in the user's shoes, understand what motivates them to interact with your product and what they're hoping to get out of your product. After you've identified your users, the next thing they're looking for is creativity in solving for these users. So what are some things I mean by creativity? Generally speaking, you're going to be looking at a problem that other people have looked at before. Take this example, design Uber for children. I'm sure there's a product manager at Uber somewhere who has thought about this problem before, right? What you want to show an interviewer is, given this problem that other people have thought about, you can come up with a more creative solution, with a solution that will change the market, this 10x kind of thinking, rather than small incremental solutions, right? Another way to talk about this is when you're thinking about pain points to solve, right, for your users, don't try to find a solution for an individual pain point. That's going to lead to incremental solutions. That's not going to be impressive, right? Try to understand what your user really cares about, all of the ways it might impact their experience, and solution for that bigger problem, right? Find one solution that elegantly solves all of these users' pain points. That's going to generally be more impressive than a solution where you're just identifying a few pain points and building features to solve for those pain points. Risks and trade-offs. So once you've identified who your users are, once you've come up with this beautiful creative solution of a product you would build to solve their problems, then reality sets in, right? Then we actually have to build this product and bring it to market. So this is where you're going to want to talk about those implications, right? We assume this product is solving for the needs of our users, but what are the areas that it's not solving for, right? What are some of the risks of developing this? Is there a privacy risk? Is there a strategic risk in the market? Is there an engineering risk, right? Maybe this thing is so complex that it might never make it to market. This is where you kind of want to sense check yourself and the solution you've just laid out. So let's talk about this now in terms of this design Uber for children example. So first I'm going to start with my users. If I'm talking about Uber for children, who are my users? I think of two groups, right? Obviously, the children are going to be a user. They're going to be the ones actually riding in the Uber. But parents are definitely a user here, right? And actually, I would argue that parents are probably the reason why we need to think about this in the first place, right? Why children aren't using Uber just as it exists today. I think parents are the ones preventing them from doing that. So who are my users? I think children will be the ones actually getting in the vehicle, but I actually think my primary decision maker, my primary user that's going to drive adoption of this product is going to be the parent. And what does that parent care about? Well, in Uber today, I can think of all sorts of opportunities for something to go wrong if I were to put my child in an Uber, right? First, matching them with a driver. Who is this driver? Why do I have to put my child in a car with a stranger, right? That's a big fear of mine. How do I know they get in the right car? How do I know the car is safe? How do I know that once they get in the car, they get where they're going? all these problems, all these specific pain points, right? But I'm going to sum this up and say safety, right? As a parent, I care about safety. And that is actually why I would imagine children don't use Uber today, because parents say the safety concerns are too great. I'm not going to put my child in an Uber. I'd rather drive them around myself. So that's user empathy. I've just shown you, I know who is the decision maker, who's driving use of this product, which is the parents, and what they really care about, which is all these little things throughout the course of the user journey, but really sum up to safety, right? Okay, so now let's talk about the solution, where we want to show creativity. I've listed out some pain points. Who is this driver? How do I make sure they get in the right car? What if something happens while they're on the ride, etc.? So I can think of one solution that is, I would call a good solution, which is kind of addressing all those pain points with features, but tying them together into one cohesive vision. So I'm going to call this vision the armored car for your child, right? Your child, as a parent, your child is your most precious piece of cargo that that you have in your life. It's the thing you care about the most. You want it protected, right? So in this example, we're going to make sure that just like something that goes into an armored car, maybe a valuable piece of art, there are always eyes on your child, and we're kind of taking all the steps we can to mitigate any risk. So this solution may be before somebody comes to pick up my child, they go through a more rigorous background check, right? Maybe that background check is done by Uber and you get some special seal that, hey, that you're a super safe driver that has gone through this extra set of background checks. Maybe I, as a parent, even want to meet this driver myself, like I would with a babysitter, right? So there's this kind of background check component. Then let's say once the child gets in the car, I have a live video camera to monitor them. So as a parent, I can check on them whenever I want. Maybe because we know the route of the car, maybe if the driver deviates from the route, we could warn them and then we could shut off the engine or contact authorities, right? I could keep going, but you can see what I'm doing here is piecing together the solution, but really it's a series of smaller features that all address individual pain points, right? A more holistic solution might be autonomous, right? I would argue that a parent's main concern with respect to safety is about the person that their child is getting in the car with, right? The potential for kidnapping, assault, all these horrible things. Not so much the car itself and the safety of the car, right? So maybe you take the human out of the picture altogether. And you talk about autonomous, right? You would definitely want to talk about the risks and trade-offs, public distrust of autonomous, et cetera. But you can see how something like autonomous is much bigger thinking, right? Rather than solving the problem through all these little features, why don't we just change the dynamic altogether? And I would argue that that one shift addresses a parent's main concern about safety. So those are my tips for how to pursue a design prompt with an example there. Next, we're going to talk about analytical and strategic prompts. Okay, so in an analytic or strategic prompt, these can take all sorts of forms. They might be a hypothetical that the interviewer gives you, like you're a product manager at Netflix and you realize you're losing subscriptions from users who have been there for 6 months or more. What do you do? That's another example, right? In these types of prompts, interviewers are generally looking for you to do a few things before coming to a conclusion. One, again, starting with the user, understand who are your users of this product? What do they care about? What are they trying to achieve? Couple that with the market, right? What is this market? Why does this market exist? What's important to be successful in this market? Finally, pair those two with your core competencies as a company. In this example, if I'm Google, what am I good at that users and the market both care about? How can I start to piece this together into a plan for us to move forward? And finally, how do you quantify success? This might be the most important part. At big companies, especially a company like Google, metrics are king, right? You have to be able to demonstrate that there is a need for you to build a certain product. And then after it's built and launched, you must be able to demonstrate that it's working as intended. Right. So this is going to come with any product you pitch, any idea you pitch as a PM at a bigger company. You're going to be asked to demonstrate how you would measure and then prove success as things move forward. So, let's take these in this example of how would Google get into real estate. First, what does our user care about? In real estate, there are two types of users, I would argue. There's one holding the inventory, one desiring the inventory, right? So that might be a seller or a lessor, a buyer or a lessee. But you have one group who's trying to find a home or a piece of inventory, and one group who's trying to find a user for that home, right? The person who is trying to find the home obviously wants to spend as little as possible while getting all of their needs met. The person who holds the inventory obviously wants to maximize the return on their investment and get as much money as possible for that inventory. What's important in this market? Facilitating the matching of these two parties, right? What are real estate agents, real estate software, all of it is designed to find that match, right? To match the person who's trying to get that inventory to the home that they want to get, right? Minimizing the friction in the transaction, right? There are all sorts of things that happen as you're buying a house or even signing a rental agreement, inspections, things like that. Minimizing that friction is another thing that's important in this market. So where does Google fit in? Well, I would argue that Google knows a lot of information about you and what you care about as a person, right? So rather than having you go to an aggregator like maybe a Zillow and punch in a bunch of filters to try to find the right property, on the buyer side, maybe we as Google could find those matches for you based on what we already know about you. Maybe on the other side, we could guarantee, on the seller side, let's say, we could guarantee exposure, right? We could say, hey, if you use our kind of Google real estate product, because we're Google and we have so many people using our platform, we can guarantee that we'll bring you buyers, right? So there's this kind of step where I've taken what the users in the market care about, I've taken what Google's good at, and I've tried to say, here's where we could fit in, right? So what does that solution look like? Maybe we as Google start by building an aggregator, right? Based on what we know about you as a buyer, we can aggregate some home results for you. We can show them to you. But that's probably not enough for Google to justify entering that market. There are a lot of aggregators, right? So maybe we could use our position to build kind of that two-sided platform. For buyers, we know a lot about you. We'll get you the right house. For sellers, hey, we're Google. We bring a lot of traffic. If you partner with us and kind of come onto our platform, we can guarantee that we'll push traffic your way. And maybe even think about some integration, right? After the process, maybe once you've found that house, we can think about making the contracting system easier since we have both parties on the platform. Maybe even as you start to move in as a buyer, we can recommend furniture for you. We can match you to interior designers, things like that. Think about kind of horizontally integrating so that we're not just another home aggregator. We actually offer value above and beyond. And then how would we quantify this? I'd say, again, as a buyer, what do I care about? I care about getting matched with properties that meet my needs, right? So maybe a metric for us to look at is percentage of the time a buyer indicates interest in a home we recommend it. Indicating interest could mean liking it, clicking to view details, etc. On the sell side of our marketplace, maybe we're looking for a change in the number of days a home is on the market, right? Sellers want to get rid of inventory as quickly as possible. If we can demonstrate that we can get your home sold in a shorter period of time, that's likely a win for you as well. So that is analytical and strategy applied to an example. Again, these questions can take all shapes and sizes, but if you hit on these kind of key points, you should be illustrating what the interviewer is looking for, regardless of the context of the exact strategic prompt.
Want to see how users actually experience your website or app? FullStory's award-winning platform gathers extensive data on each user experience in real time, giving product teams hundreds of ways to better understand both issues and successes in aggregate. Plus, with individual user sessions, FullStory enables you to drill down into the details, giving you a better understanding of each unique experience happening on your website or app. Get started at FullStory.com.
So let's talk about technical interviews for a PM. This is one of the places I've seen the most misconceptions about what you need to have prepared as a product manager. Very rarely, if ever, will you be asked to write code, solve an algorithmic problem, do a systems design prompt. All of these things that are more traditionally engineering actually are truly just engineering prompts, right? That's not your job as a PM to write code, design a system, etc. Your job is, however, to be able to have an informed and educated conversation with engineers, UX designers, et cetera, about the implementation of a requirement that you've written, a product that you've proposed building, right? So in a technical interview, I actually think there are only two things that they're really looking for a product manager candidate to be able to illustrate. And that is, one, do you understand what a big technical challenge is? So if you're sitting there writing requirements for a product, which will be your job if you're a product manager at a large company, and you write something that might be technically difficult to achieve, do you recognize that? Or do you just gloss over it and kind of keep writing? If you gloss over it and keep writing, there's a big risk later in the software development lifecycle that engineering gets their hands on it and says, this is really difficult. Why'd the product manager write this and assume we could do it, right? So being able to illustrate that you can flag those concerns as they come up is very important. Once a concern has been flagged, you should have an idea of how a technical challenge might be solved. So this does not mean that you should be able to draw the system, you know, architect the system that an engineer is going to architect, but you should at least have an idea of the options engineers will have at their disposal and which option they might pursue, right? So this is where having some technical background does help, but as we'll talk about toward the end of this presentation, I think there are other ways to understand how these technical challenges might be solved other than just having been an engineer. So given an example, this is an example I like to use a lot. Talk to me about YouTube's two biggest technical challenges and how they might be addressed. So I'll start with a bad answer. A bad answer might be, well, YouTube has to facilitate social interactions, right? You have liking and sharing and linking to videos, and that's a difficult technical challenge. It's really not, right? These relationships, likes, shares, etc., can all be saved in some relational database pretty easily. That's not what makes YouTube YouTube, right? A good answer here might be, well, if I am streaming a YouTube video in New York on my iPhone 10 with a 5G internet connection, I can have the same experience as somebody in an emerging market with a $100 phone and a much slower connection. Like being able to facilitate that same user experience in two broadly different technical environments is a big technical challenge. How might these challenges be solved? Solving this problem of having two users with two drastically different technical specifications on their device, et cetera, what might you want to call out? You might want to call out encoding, right? These videos, the video that someone in an emerging part of the world versus what I'm watching here on my iPhone 10 might be encoded differently for different types of devices, different bandwidths, et cetera. You also might want to talk about a distributed system, right? The person in, let's say, Southeast Asia watching the video on a lower quality device is not going to be reading the same file that I'm reading, right? We might want to create multiple copies of that file, store them all over the world, etc. Notice that I'm talking about engineering concepts here, distributed systems, some caching, replication, but I'm not designing a system. I'm not talking about it at the level of granularity that an engineer would talk about it. I'm just illustrating that I understand why these things are challenging and how they might go about being solved. If you can talk about a variety of technical problems at that level of detail, you're going to be in very good shape to succeed in the technical interviews at Google and other big companies. So now that we've talked about, for all these different types of interviews you might get asked, how you can demonstrate success on the day of the interview, how do you get there? How do you make sure that come interview day, you're ready? I'm going to talk about three kind of core points here. One, I think seeing it in practice, getting exposure to these decisions and these technical challenges real time is going to help tremendously. Two, developing your own philosophy, understanding in terms of users interacting with a product, what you think matters, how you think you can best optimize to create those good experiences, and having a philosophy about how to do so consistently is extremely helpful. And third, practice. This is probably the most important one. I think a lot of people don't know what to expect from a product manager interview, so they don't prep in the same way they might for other interviews. But you should treat this like a coding interview, a case interview for consulting companies or investment banking. All these interviews that you hear about people prepping days and weeks for, product management interviews are the same the same thing, and they should be treated kind of with that same level of prep in mind. And I'll talk about some resources I think do a good job of helping to facilitate that. So first, seeing it in practice. Some of this is going to assume that you actually have exposure to a technical product right now. Maybe you're working in sales at a startup, but even if you're not working for a technical product, as long as you're working for a company that offers some sort of product, I think a lot of these insights will be helpful. Talk to the decision makers, talk to the product managers and engineers about how decisions get made, maybe some recent decisions they've made and why they made them. Tell them you're interested in becoming a product manager, and they'll kind of help you understand what's important to know about the decisions your company has made. Following up to that, sit in on strategy and design meetings. This is how I first got exposed to product. I was in business operations. I talked to the product manager. She told me, start sitting in on some of these meetings. And I got to sit there and kind of watch how these needs of your users get identified, how these solutions get fleshed out in a real case, right, for a real company, so that when it came time to interview, I had this real foundation to fall back on, despite the fact that I had never been a product manager myself. Listen to your users. This one I think almost everybody can do. Everybody has users, and everybody probably has access to that user feedback. Again, if you're a salesperson, maybe how demos are going. If you're a customer success, you should have a lot of access to this. Find what your users are saying about your product and decide what that means. Determine if you agree with it. Does it mean that your product is targeting the wrong user? Does it mean that you're not focusing on their biggest needs? Start to understand how these things look in the real world. So develop a personal philosophy. One thing that I did that really helped me prepare for these interviews was kind of developing this mental model of what I think constitutes a good user experience. And I started piecing this together by actually just taking note of product interactions I had throughout the course of my day. So if you're using an app on your phone, think about, what is my goal as a user in using this app right now? Is this product meeting my needs? Would I do anything differently if I were the product manager? Doesn't need to be an app, right? It can be a physical product. But start to take note of these interactions you have throughout the course of the day. What's good? What's bad? Track these interactions, right? I basically had a journal where I recorded these interactions, talked about what I thought was good, what I thought was bad, what I would do differently. And then periodically, I would kind of go through and determine a few key tenets, right? Synthesize some points that I thought were important in a product, given the interactions I'd had and kind of my evaluation of them, right? So this is going to be different for everybody. I also don't think these tenets are always going to apply, right? It's going to depend on the product and the needs of your user. But starting to develop opinions around this is an extremely important part of being ready to interview as a product manager. It's going to give you a tool belt almost, or an inventory of things you've already thought about to fall back on when you're asked about a certain product design prompt, et cetera, in the actual interview. Just a few tenets I have. Keeping your user informed. I've had many experiences where something changed. Maybe I've ordered food, the food gets delayed, I don't understand why. I think having a feedback loop with your users and keeping them apprised of where they are in the interaction with this product, what they need to do next, something I think is very important. Maintaining a strict feature hierarchy, maybe offering one or two pieces of functionality to a user from the main menu instead of 9 or 10 in a really long menu, helps users understand how they should be using your product. I think that's super important as well. Interaction promotes engagement. The more a user has to touch your product, the more likely they are to keep using it, the more data points you have, etc. These are just a few I thought of off the top of my head, but you can see that these are widely applicable, right? And so developing your own kind of strategy, philosophy, things you think are important is going to be extremely helpful. Finally, preparing for the interview itself. So I would strongly recommend using an interview prep product. I recommend tryexponent.com. It's what I use to get my job at Google. I've read Cracking the PM Interview, Decode and Conquer, all of those sorts of books. And I think Exponent does the best job of putting it all together into a curriculum, a set of practice materials that you can use as steps toward being prepared for that interview. I do work for Exponent on the side as a coach, so I am a little bit biased, but I truly believe that they have the best product out there. Watching videos. So I mentioned earlier that it helps to be an engineer and have a technical background in interviewing for a product manager role, but it's not necessary to understand how technical things work at the level that you need to understand them. One of the things I advocate strongly to everybody I coach is watching YouTube videos and reading articles about how basic technology products work, right? So this might be, how does a browser work? How does the internet work? How do APIs work? How does multimedia storage work? How does search work, right? I probably watched 50 plus of these videos during my preparation, and most technical questions I got asked during my interview process tied back to something I had watched in some way, right? It might not have been directly about something I watched or read about, but giving yourself this baseline level of familiarity with how these important technical concepts work will allow you to kind of make those connections when you get asked a technical prompt in the interview. Doing mock interviews and recording yourself. So in terms of being ready to answer these design prompts, strategy prompts on the fly, the only way you can really get good at that is by practicing, right? Repetition, being consistently confronted with something you haven't thought about yet, and being able to understand, okay, what's important here? What factors need to go into me making a decision? What is my decision, right? So I recommend doing mock interviews. Exponent has a great community on Slack of other PMs who are looking to interview. Find other people at your office, other product managers you might know, do mock interviews with them. But also give mock interviews to yourself. Don't be afraid to administer an interview to yourself, take it seriously, record it. I think at some point in preparation, you become your best coach. You know better than anybody else what you need to improve on. Listening to yourself and your own interview answers with that critical ear, I think, is one of the best ways to get that insight. So that is the end of my talk. Hope you found it helpful. If you are interested in working with me, again, through Try Exponent, you can find me. I'm a coach there. Otherwise, best of luck in all of your PM interview pursuits. Again, hope you found this helpful. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Product Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to us if you would rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Taking the time to write just a few sentences about what you love most about the show will help us improve it and reach even more product people around the world. And when you're done, why not reward yourself with some free product management content and resources over at productschool.com? Until next time, stay product-led.